So I want to go back to this beautiful book of poems that I've been reading called Because of the Rain. These are Korean Zen poems. I've been kind of exploring that aspect of our lineage in Boundless Way Zen, the Korean transmission. We tend to emphasize in our forms our Japanese roots, which are so beautiful. The Soto tradition often establishing many of our forms. We do also have Korean lineage roots through Sungsan, George Bowman, back to Sungsan and to Korea. So I find the poetry, the Korean poetry, be a very beautiful way of exploring this tradition. And this poem is from this little collection. It's written by Nong Hui Gun, and it goes like this. Zen meditation should be done in good faith. Study hard, driving yourself farther. When your doubt is great, when your doubt is ground into powder, mud cows will plow the field of creation. One more time. Zen meditation should be done in good faith. Study hard, driving yourself farther. When your doubt is ground into powder, mud cows will plow the field of pre-creation. I hope I said pre-creation the first time and not procreation. I can't remember. So, what a beautiful poem. And I want to kind of take it line by line. I've been meditating on it and reflecting with it. Zen meditation should be done in good faith. Of course, faith is one of the, we call the three pillars, if you will, or the three legs of a stool in Zen. Faith, doubt, and perseverance. And we see all of these in this poem, don't we? The opening line is that Zen meditation should be done in good faith. But later it mentions when your doubt is ground into powder. And the second line talks about perseverance. So what about this faith? What is this faith that we have as we practice together? Part of it, I think, is in the Dharma, that there's a reason to sit and practice in the first place. Each of us must feel some draw to this practice to come back to the cushion again and again. Now, the faith in the beginning, I think, is a faith that there is some kind of possibility that we have not yet awakened to. Possibility, perhaps, of enlightenment, of seeing our true nature, of liberation. This promise that is offered. The Four Noble Truths, we suffer. But there is a path. A path we can walk, and when we walk that path, our suffering is in some way transformed into wisdom. And so this promise is held forth, and perhaps in the beginning of practice, our faith is just in those words, in this possibility. But as we practice, our faith shifts, I think. It shifts into a kind of faith that this moment is offering us exactly what we seek. And yet we need to practice again and again because so often we overlook things as they are. But we do touch into that. And every once in a while we get these glimmers of it. That this moment, just as it is precisely what we seek. Of course, that doesn't mean that this moment's content is necessarily any different. And that's the amazing paradox, something that we can almost not explain to someone who has never tasted this. But all of us have at this point had that moment where we saw that our anger or that our tears, that our confusion was also in some way a Dharma gate, that it was the way itself manifesting So we practice in faith. And it goes on, study hard, driving yourself farther. Study hard, driving yourself farther. Very different from the other chant that I suggested, which was nothing to do, which we did during the liturgy. Because it's important to talk about both sides of this. We drive ourselves so hard in all of our lives. If we turn this into another project of self-improvement, when will we realize the way? And we do have to come and make an effort. I mean, we all show up here to practice together. We sit upright. You know, we make this effort to be present in the forms. And that presence doesn't always come naturally to us. I've heard it said before that Zen is like a remedial training for people. I like that. Takes the ego aspect away, doesn't it? It's like remedial training for those of us who need it. Just being present with what's already here. Unfortunately, of course, that's most of us in the world. So we have to make this effort to see again and again that this really is it. And why do we need to make that effort? Because we are constantly filled with doubt. When your doubt is ground into powder, mud cows will plow the field of pre-creation. Pre-creation. Mud cows, not separate from the field. All separateness falls away when our doubts are ground to powder. We are no longer separate from Buddha. But we don't get to skip the step of facing these doubts. And this is a big part of practice. And it doesn't just happen once. It happens again and again. I was thinking to myself, what are the doubts that I see being most common in myself, in practitioners generally? What are the doubts that we face again and again? I think there are mainly three. The first doubt, I cannot be enlightenment. I cannot be Buddha. I can't be this truth, not me as I am. I am a flawed creature. I'm so often filled with anxiety and anger and rage and grief and all these human afflictions. I can't be enlightened. That's the first doubt that so many of us face. The second doubt. This moment can't be it. Are you kidding? I mean, my knee hurts. We're just on a Zoom. This is stupid. We're just on a Zoom call. How can this be enlightenment? I mean, there's just a stupid computer in front of me, you know? And on we go with that story, right? Into our lives. As soon as I get the dishes done, then I'll get myself some good enlightenment. Let me just get the dishes done first. As soon as I can finish with my job, as soon as I finish with, you know, preparing for work tomorrow, then I can have myself some real good enlightenment. Enlightenment always seems to be something that we imagine will come later if we practice hard enough. We don't imagine that this moment here, you, me, us together, that this is it. And the third doubt, the world as it is cannot be enlightenment. This world as it is, from which I am not separate, in which beings are suffering, murdering each other. This world on fire, burning from three fires, as we said in our dedications earlier. The fires of the pandemic, fires of natural or environmental disasters unnatural. The fires of racial injustice, of gunfire. This can't be it. Well, maybe enlightenment isn't what we think it is. We imagine that all three of these different doubts need to be resolved. That in some way we need to fix ourselves, we need to fix the moment, or we need to fix the world before enlightenment can be present. Maybe because they're interrelated, right? This moment sucks because the world sucks, and therefore I'm pissed off, and that can't be it. Of course they're interrelated. We actually are not separate from this moment. And this world is not separate from this moment. The interwovenness of these seemingly three separate things is their true nature. Where else would we find enlightenment? So, what is this enlightenment then? Well, you know, we don't get to just think, ah, now I get it. All these things are enlightenment. So there. I'm enlightened. Fantastic. It's not like we can just throw a new definition on. This is just the mind turning it one way and turning it another, creating new dualities for us to get caught up in. I'm enlightened, but other people are not. I mean, the moment we think we are enlightened as separate individuals, we're lost. But there is this amazing thing where distinctions fall away. This possibility of our doubts being ground down. The mud cow not separate from the mud pasture of pre-creation. Pre-creation of doubt, before the separating mind is believed, is one boundless field of creation. How do we see this field? We already are it. We just don't believe it. It's already true. Anger, injustice, tragedy, and all. It's also already it. The suchness of the world is indisputable. When we're caught up in our doubts, spiritual bypass is very tempting. Tempting to say, well, I'll just rise above all of these challenging things with some enlightenment. But that's not how it works, because the way things are is the content of our enlightenment. Our practice is to keep turning toward things just as they are. That practice, that great effort, is precisely how we grind down these doubts that afflict us and lead us to believe that we are not it, that this moment isn't it, that this world isn't it, can't be it, always looking for something else. This moment is the koan, with its great complexity, including its great suffering and its boundless joy. All interwoven samsara, nirvana, not separate, not two. Just this. Thank you.